everyone, and welcome to Minute 100 of Season 8 of Movie Raw Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week and reach the century episode mark for this season is Scott Myers, Associate Professor of Screenwriting at DuPaul University. Welcome back to the show, Scott.
Thanks, Rob. Great to be here to round out this exploration of this very interesting scene in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, for sure. So minute 100 begins with Mike continuing to confront Ryben and ends with Miller finding a way to break the tension. So, you know, all week we've been building up towards something, and now this minute really culminates everything that's been going on. You know, because through the course of the week we've been hearing the various viewpoints of some of the characters, whether the decision was the correct decision to let Steamboat Willie go or not, and basically. Now we have a confrontation between Mike and Ryben about this issue. You know, Ryben picks up his gear, but he's not going where everyone else is going. And Mike has just blown a few fuses. As far as he's concerned, you know, Ryben needs to act differently. Maybe it even could be from a perspective that he thinks Ryben needs to be acting, not necessarily from a military perspective, but just that he needs to give more respect to, you know, to Miller and to Mike, maybe because of the age difference or something like that. You know, which sort of would fit in with the persona of someone from in the 1940s. You know, because it's very different than today with the way people you know, respect their elders and things like that. So I don't know.
I agree with that. I mean, I think we talked a little bit about it before that his, you know, Ryben's actions are, you know, directly against military protocol. You don't question your commanding officer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the other guy takes it up. Basically, he doesn't like Ryben, so he's using an excuse.
Exactly. So Mike then screams and goes, "Ryben, get back in line." And he goes, "No, sir. I'll spend the rest of my life in the stockade if I have to, but I'm done with this." And Mike doesn't like that answer. He's just getting really angry. And he at this point, you know, pulls out a gun and points it at Ryben and cocks it and goes, "I'm not going to ask you again, soldier." And Upham, once again, has decided that he's the one who needs to try to make some sense of everything that's going on. He goes, "Captain," and Jackson starts moving forward and goes, "All right, now, this is bullshit." And I love Barry Pepper's drawl here. "This is bullshit." You know, the way that he says it. And, you know, Mike isn't taking it. And he goes, "Fall in." And Ryben looks at him and goes, "You're going to shoot me over Ryan?" He goes, "No, I'm going to shoot you because I don't like you." And then Upham once again interjects and goes, "Sir, listen." And Jackson also is, I guess, suing for peace here because he goes, "Sir, if he wants to go, just let him go." And basically Upham then is still pleading with Miller. He goes, "Are you going to let this happen, Captain? You see this?" And Mellish also throws in his words and he goes, "Captain, sir, Ryan's dead." And then we once again hear, "Bullshit. Sir, we have a situation. You might, this is bullshit. Captain, I have a sixth sense about these things. I know it in my bones. We don't kill that son of a bitch Kraut. Now you're going to shoot me? He's better than you. Then why don't you just do it, Sarge? Do it, man. Put one in my leg and give me that." Now, this is, first of all, you can probably explain this much better than I can from a screenwriting perspective, but the overlapping dialogue that they're having between these characters within this argument is done so brilliantly. Because the tone of each of the characters' lines helps you understand who's saying what, even if you're not necessarily looking at the screen.
Even you, I'm looking at the transcript here of the, it's 4 pages, 3.5 pages, which is like twice as long as some of the other minutes. So clearly they're jamming a lot of dialogue in here. And I'm pretty sure that Spielberg would have said, okay, let's do this again, way faster, faster, and step on each other's lines. So yeah, you're right. It's this overlapping dialogue that really, again, underscores the tension, the rising tension of the scene. It's great.
That's right. And I mean, if you look at the novelization, and this might be in some of the other the other scripts that you've gone through, but there's a lot more of the argument here. After Horvath says, "Don't you walk away from your captain," Jackson basically says, "Let the loudmouth go. We don't need him." And then Mellish goes, "Listen, Captain, never mind Riven. He's an asshole. I'm with you all the way, but listen, my sense of things, sir, Ryan's dead. Head in the grass someplace, just like those paratroopers. I'm positive. We ought to just head back, sir." And Sarge yells at Riven at that point, and Riven goes, "No, sir, I'll spend the rest of my life in Leavenworth, but I won't be part of this shit detail no more." He goes, "I'm not going to say it again." And then he pulls out the gun. He goes, "Fall in, soldier." And Riven turns and goes, "You shoot me over, Riven. Somebody we never met. Just fall in, soldier." He says, "Well, fine, 12. Good. Do it. Shoot me in the leg, would you please? The million-dollar wound that sends me home. Blow me a f***ing kiss, Sarge. On your lips, head. And shut up. Do it, Sarge. Do it." And Jackson goes, "This is getting interesting. Jesus Christ, Sarge. Put the gun away, will you? And if I'm gonna Ramel and picking up Ryan." And then he goes, No, don't listen to him. Shoot me, Sarge. Save the Germans some f***ing ammo." So I mean, the in the dialogue there, things are getting a lot. The heat is going further up each time. But the way that they're arguing with the whole thing. I'm glad they cut it. I think it's very effective the way they did it here in the movie. But it's just interesting how much dialogue they added in there, for this whole argument, which visually is just so much. It's so easy to take in, and you don't need all of the dialogue to make it as effective, because you can feel the way that these characters are at each other's throats at this
Yeah.
point, from the way that the movie portrays the whole thing.
Sometimes you have extended dialogue, it dissipates the energy. It's like the
Correct.
audience is there. They know this is rising tension. They know this is going someplace, and all of a sudden you keep going on and on and on with the dialogue. It's like, no, let's get to it, you know.
Right. It's true. True. And I like the way that Ryben is sure that Mike is gonna just wound him. He's not trying to kill him.
Yeah.
But I see, I don't get that vibe from Mike. I get the vibe that Mike wants
Oh,
to kill him,
absolutely.
actually.
Gonna shoot you in your big goddamn
Yeah,
mouth.
he's not looking to give him he's not at a point where he's just gonna he's not trying to make it easier for Ryben. Ryben thinks, okay, you shoot me, I get my million-dollar wound, which is sort of a throwback to Platoon. The idea that you get wounded twice and you get to go home. So it's like, all right, so I'll have some damage in my leg, whatever it is, but at least I'll get home. But Mike doesn't put up with that.
No. Can I
So
blow your mind a
I like
little bit?
the way they did.
In the
Please
script,
do.
Sarge agrees with Ryben. How's that? Yeah.
Really?
He says
Who's
he's Sarge. He says he goes, I'm saying Ryben's right. We're here to fight the war. So
So who's the argument between?
it's Ryben saying we should, I'm out of here. And then Ryben, I'm sorry, Ryben. And the argument is that the guys are, some of them are starting to leave. It's not about someone going to shoot somebody. That's when Miller says, I'm an English teacher. in the script. So clearly, this is a much more dramatic scene, right? And it probably derives in part because Sarge doesn't like Ryben. And so there's that subtext is playing out underneath there. So that was an interesting change, and you can look at it and say, well, absolutely, how much better for Miller to drop this revelation to deflate a situation where someone's got a gun trained on another dude.
That's right. Their argument continues here. And, you know, he says, I'm going to shoot you in that ear, big goddamn mouth. He says, well, put your money where your mouth is. You don't even know when to shut up. Do it. You don't know how to shut up. Pull the trigger already. Captain, please. And, I mean, I love the way that Miller, or Tom Hanks, actually, in this particular, how he plays this so subtly. You know, like, he just starts walking slowly towards them. And then he just throws out a line that is completely from left field, where he goes, what's the pull on me up to now? What? And we still hear the arguments. And Mike says, you are a coward, son of a bitch. I'm waiting, Sarge. And then Miller raises his voice a little bit and goes, Mike, what's the pull on me up to right now? What's it up to? What is it? $300? Is that it? $300? And I don't think that many actors would be able to pull off this scene as well as Tom Hanks does. Because here you have all the other characters are yelling and screaming at each other. It's very tense. A lot of, you know, there's a lot of arguments going with these characters. A lot of, you know, the moments are we don't know what's going to happen here because we believe that Mike might actually shoot Ryben.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have someone just start talking. It's have you seen True Romance? Okay, so there's a scene there that this reminds me of also. And it's funny because Tom Sizemore is in that scene also. It's right before they have the Mexican standoff. It's during the Mexican standoff at the end where you have Brosnan's character, you know, sort of hiding away from the guns. And everyone's screaming, screaming, screaming. You know, from all three sides or all the sides of this standoff and stuff like that. And then you hear him go, Officer Dimes, Officer Dimes, you know, and it just like breaks a little bit of the ice and the tension of what's going on by having a voice. Maybe not in True Romance, it's not really a voice of reason, but here is a voice of reason. But it's someone who's able to take over this, you know, the our attention, but he's able to do it with without having to scream over everybody else. He just talks in a normal voice and everyone else is just quiet in order to be able to listen to what's being said.
This is there's some really expert writing here. Of course, they have set this thing up about what the question, like, what is Miller's job, where's he from? And I've referenced it a couple of times so that you're reminded of this. So this is a payoff to that. But there's a brilliant little bit of business here, which you might not have noticed. And I don't know. I bet it was probably on set with a screenwriter where they came up with this. But you've got this interchange. Do it, man. Put one on my leg and give me that. I'm going to, he says, I'm going to shoot you in your big goddamn mouth. And then Ryben says, well, put your money where your mouth is. Money. And I think that's the trigger that Miller uses because he goes, what's the pool on me up to? So that line, put your money where your mouth is.
I never thought about
that. You know, put your money where your mouth is. If you're thinking like here, I'm Miller. What the fuck am I going to do here? Money. You know, and I think because it's like 10 seconds later, maybe after or even less than 8 seconds later. So I think that it's a subtle thing, but I bet that you know, at least on set or when they were talking about it, that's a trigger, that's a transition point for Miller to come up with this thing. What's the pull on me up to? He's talking, it comes up with that use of the word money.
Wow. That's great. Yeah, I never caught that. Never thought about that. It makes so much sense.
Yeah. And is, if I'm not mistaken,
interesting.
When he goes, Mike, what's the pool on me up to right now? Isn't there a close up? It's a side shot of Sarge, and he goes, "What's it up to?" Is it? Does he say that line? He repeats it back to, like you see him sort of like caught up, like what? Why that line? What? And then he goes to Miller. Yeah, what is it? $300? Is it that $300? I think that if I'm remembering it correctly, I know there's a side shot of Sizemore where he's kind of a little bit confused, like why is this coming up now? But I could be wrong. But anyhow, what's it up to? I think that's Sarge's line.
Right. So Miller says what's it up to the first time, and Mike looks over him, but still is holding the gun on Ryman. Right. As he says that, he looks at him.
Okay, yeah. So it does.
But the line is only from Miller. Miller's the only one who's talking.
He's the only one. Okay. But it breaks the tension. It's like what you were saying.
Yeah.
It's such a out of left field thing, and he says it so quietly that it's like startles. Sarge. Like what? But why would you mention that? Yeah.
Like, that's right. Like, where's that?
Yeah.
You know, what? I'm right now arguing with Ryben. You're talking about $300.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really is. It really is. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. You know, about this money on the pool and stuff like that. Where, like, who's holding this money? Yeah. Think about, you know, how many. How many men put in $5 into this pool that are no longer around? And you know, maybe it's Miller who's holding the money because you know, no one else is going to be able to collect. I don't know.
Yeah, you.
I like the way that
it's funny. Yeah. I'm a school teacher. He says. You know, you compare that. I'm looking at the script. You know, I told you that. You know, the argument is not about whether Sarge is going to shoot Ryman or not. It on 126 of the script is Ryman goes, "Don't make it go like this, sir." He's saying to Miller, "Come with us." They're getting ready to leave. They're gonna run away from their Jackson. Come on, Captain, lead us back to where they need us most, like fighting. But Miller doesn't move. Scene description: the men resume walking. They're walking away from him. He looks to Sarge, who's in agony now, not sure what to do, who to follow. Finally, Miller, "I'm an English teacher." It's so much better with the movie, you know.
Oh, for sure. I was just about to say that sounds so bad the way that they do that thing.
Oh man, yeah, that's great. I mean, they probably.
Yeah, I'm assuming
they probably wouldn't have gotten into
every.
They wouldn't have gotten to this moment if they hadn't gone through that moment in the script. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a process. You gotta.
Yeah.
You go. That's why writing is rewriting. You know, you just write it, and if it works, great. And if it doesn't, well, then you do something else. But this, where they ended up, is perfect.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love the way they do this. And you're right. We do get another cliffhanger at the end of today's episode.
That's a school teacher. You go, what? Okay, what does that mean? Why is he saying that? What else is he? Yeah, and yeah.
That's right. So people are going to have to come back on Monday to find that out.
Cliffhanger.
Exactly, and we keep you over the weekend with that too, not just you know, not just one day. So Scott, did you have anything else you wanted to say about the movie in general?
Oh, I don't know. It's you know, I remember being blown away when I first saw it, and then now that, like, you know, we've gone through this thing minute by minute. I'm sure you've got an incredibly deeper appreciation for it. You know, it makes me want to go through scene by scene here. And just stop the film and think about what I just saw and then go to the next scene. It's powerful stuff. And, you know, Tom Hanks wanted to do a World War II movie. Spielberg wanted, to them, a lot of it was just play. I mean, they wanted to just, you know, like off camera, you know, get to play this part like when they were kids, you know, imagining themselves fighting a war, you know. But they made a really masterful film.
Anyone who's seen The Fablemans knows that.
But I'm sure, like Spielberg, you know, he's so savvy in terms of the things he makes. He wanted to do a World War II movie. And Tom Hanks, same thing. They're both have very critical eyes, And they had to wait for the right thing. And the right thing was, we're going to go find this kid who's got to be pulled out because all his siblings have been killed. That's a great, great hook for a movie.
Yeah, for sure. They really do this very well. So every Friday, we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg movies. So you see, we're back to, you know, we're back to Steven Spielberg.
I don't want to mention any of the movies that I mentioned previously, like with the soundtrack.
You can.
Yeah. And he's got so many of them. So I'm going to start off number five with The Post. And that's the reason I mention it. It's a good movie. It's, you know, maybe not the most noteworthy Spielberg film, but it's got an incredible backstory. Liz Hanna was fascinated with Katharine Graham, who owned the Washington Post. And so she's, this is one of those classic, you know, fuck it, I'm going to write this script, and if it doesn't sell, then I'm out of the business. And so she writes this script, and, you know, as I recall the story, because I have interviewed her, and I know her pretty well, she's like washing clothes or something, doing her laundry on a weekend night, and she gets a call from former head of Sony Studios saying, we just bought your script. This is like in October. Then it makes the blacklist in November or December. And then, you know, in January or February, there's a trade, Spielberg to direct The Post. And then the next month, Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks to star in it. I mean, can you imagine the sort of whiplash? Yeah, 14 months after she sells the script, she's at the premiere of the movie in Washington, D.C. It's just an amazing backstory. It's really a good movie for people who haven't seen it. I would go number four, Minority Report, which I was prepared not to like, but I did like it a lot. I think it's really, really, really well done. Number three, I would put Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is like a perfect action-adventure movie. I mean, it really is. That's the Whammo Theory. That's like something big happens like every 10 minutes. We talked about the other day. Number two is Lincoln. I know that Spielberg had wanted to do a movie on Lincoln like a lot, and there had been various projects that he had acquired or developed, and they just weren't working. The brilliance of Lincoln is that it's, we call it a snapshot bio. There's the cradle to grave biographies where you're, you know, studying a character or telling a story of a character over, you know, an immense amount of time, their entire life or whatnot. Lincoln was great because it's just one little chapter. And the snapshot bio, those become more popular nowadays, is where you take that one little chapter and you use that as a lens through which to interpret the entirety of a character's life. And so that movie is like, I just think is a terrific film. I just wish he had ended it with Lincoln going down the stairs after he's getting his, he has his, puts his hat on with the, with his valet, as opposed to seeing the shooting of Lincoln and the assassination and all that sort of thing. But then my number one movie, I'm going to throw out something that maybe people haven't seen that much, is Empire of the Sun. Another World War II film starring a very young Christian Bale. That movie's got so many brilliant visuals. It's really incredible. This English boy is struggling to survive under Japanese occupation of China. And I remember seeing that. I think it was the first, 1987. That was the year I broke into Hollywood. And so I was seeing everything because I was having to learn as much as I could about the business because I didn't go to film school. And it always stuck with me. There's a great moment in there. This kid is like fascinated with airplanes. And at some point these P-51s come flying overhead and he's so excited to see them. Yeah. Anyhow, Empire of the Sun. If people haven't seen it, it's definitely worth a watch.
I love the music in Empire of the Sun.
Yeah. Great sound.
Yeah. I can just, right now I can, it's in my head since you mentioned Empire of the Sun, you know, and it's like, wow. I remember seeing that when it came out and, loving it back in 87, and you know, it's still among, you know, one of my favorite movies. It's just great.
Yeah.
Really good.
What a filmmaker.
Right, excellent.
Spielberg, amazing.
Yeah. That's true. that's why it's not easy making these lists.
Yeah.
You know, he's got too many things that fit on those lists. What can I tell you? If only everyone was as talented as Steven Spielberg.
Just hope he keeps knocking them out.
And that's right. I agree. All right, so Scott, would you like for one final time this season to tell people where they can find you?
Going to thestory.com is my blog. Screenwritingmasterclass.com is the online educational resource. DePaul University Film School, that's where I teach screenwriting, wonderful film school in Chicago. And then my book, The Protagonist Journey, An Introduction to Character-Driven Storytelling and Screenwriting. Screenwriting and storytelling. So that's the entirety of anything, probably. I'll be at the London Screenwriters Festival in April. I'll be back in Athens, Greece for the third year in a row for the OWL Screenwriters Festival. I'll be back in L.A. for the Blacklist Feature Writers Labs. And, you know, so I have a lot of traveling I do where I speak, and Boston Film Festival, I'll be back there again. But that's about it.
Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movearoundminute@movearound.net. So Scott, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been very eye-opening. I've learned more about screenwriting from you, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, thank you for all your insights. You do this research; it's amazing. You know, the degree of research that you do, the depth of it, and I learned a lot too this week. So thanks a lot.
All right, excellent. All right. I'm glad that I'm able to teach the teacher.
Yeah, I'm glad to learn.
All right. So everyone have a great weekend, and I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, earn this.
Earn this.
In my solitude, you haunt me with reveries of days gone by.